Welcome to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast, the legal English podcast for non-native English speakers that helps you improve your English listening, improve your legal English vocabulary, and build your knowledge of American legal culture. Hi, and welcome to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Edelson, and we're continuing our series of interviews with multilingual lawyers. And today we're speaking to a very new lawyer who just passed the New York bar exam. Congratulations, Chunxia Cole.
Hi, Professor. Hi, everyone. It's so nice to hear from you and to get into the channel. And welcome, everyone.
Thanks very much. So why don't you tell me how to pronounce your name correctly?
I know that's really a good question. The X in my first name actually sounds like a C. So it sounds like a Chunxia, but it actually means the spring light. But you can call me Violet if that's easier.
Sure, Violet. Wait, so your name in Chinese means spring lights?
Correct.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
Okay, but I'll call you Violet anyway.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right. So you just passed the New York bar exam, but let's go back in time. Where were you born?
I was born in China.
Okay, and where in China?
Actually, it's a city named Tianjin, which actually 2 hours or hour and a half drive from Beijing, the capital.
That's great. And you live in the United States now, right?
Yes, I actually lived in the United States ever since 2008.
Oh, so you've been in the United States for a number of years now. Have you lived in countries other than the United States?
No, actually, this is my almost a second home.
So do you mind if I ask you, what brought you to the United States?
Sure. I remember in 2007, I worked in the Sinotrans, which is a global transportation company. They actually trying to build a joint venture company with one of the local U.S. located logistic company, and then they send a bunch of us, like a group of delegation, to the U.S. to work. That's how I started. And then the U.S. company, I'm not going to say the name because they're confidential, they actually send a bunch of engineers, project manager to the China to work together with us. So we worked like a back and forth for like over a year. Then I met my husband.
Aha. Wait, so let's take this a step at a time. So your background is not as a lawyer.
Not at all. Yeah, you're right. I graduated in China from college as a law degree, but I never practiced in law. I never been a lawyer in China. Because when I graduated that year, which was 2001, and the logistics is actually brand new, it was very hot at that time. So somehow the fate just led me to the other area, which I never know I'm going to go back to the law, especially in another country.
That is really interesting. And that is one difference between the United States and other countries in that typically in the U.S., one doesn't graduate with an undergraduate degree in law. So you came to the United States as an engineer or a project manager. What were you?
Yeah, I was a project manager at that time. So we were trying to actually set up a whole logistic platform as a new company, which we can introduce all the retail system to China by building a like like a PO system, which is like purchase order system. So they can actually track all the orders they placed and track where they were, because a lot of retailers actually trying to set their another subsidiary company in China at that time. And what we were working on was how to connect in the technical way to set a platform so that both sides actually can view just in time.
I see. So you're in the United States working and you met your husband in the United States?
Actually, we met in China because he was sent to China as a IT, work as an IT person. And I was sent to another city, but it was still in China. We worked together as a group trying to figure out the whole process, how we're going to set up and what is our work process together for both companies. That's how we met.
Oh, that's very nice. So you have a family in China and a family in the United States, and you primarily live in the United States?
That's it.
Aha. Okay. So now, I guess the big question that I have and everyone else must have is, why did you go to law school in the United States?
Well, that's really a good question, because as you know, when you graduate, you know, everybody's trying to find a job first as fast as they can because all the financial requirement. That's what happened to me. At that time, logistics is really hot, like I said before. So I went there. I started with my career. That went well all the way. And particular when you're in your comfort zone, it was really hard to jump out. I think everybody should have the same feeling like I do. But somehow, thanks for the COVID, you know, everybody was not knowing what to do, what we're going to face in the future. And we don't know how long this whole pandemic is going to last. I do remember at that time, I actually was working in a hospital because I just got my nursing assistant program, that certificate, because my dad, he had lots of like heart issues and kidney issues. So to be able to provide him a better like a care, because he doesn't actually speak English, and he actually moved to the United States 2013. Mm-hmm. I was trying to help him, but I understand all the terminology all the doctor and nurses were using. So I learned that program. So I started to, get into the field. I was thinking about I'm going to go all the way towards that field to be a nurse or something like that to continue the study. But somehow the COVID hit, everything changed. I was just thinking, what can I do? And is that the time to really go back to my core? If I do that, you know, with all the financial I have to pay and the time I have to put in, is that the right time? Am I able to jump out of my comfort zone? So thanks for COVID, I did. That's how I went to law school.
This is really exciting and quite interesting. You're very brave. So you come to, let me just summarize here. You come to the United States as a project manager. Your father comes, unfortunately, he has some health issues. And to help him better navigate the medical system, you just go ahead and become a nurse's assistant. And you're on your way to becoming a nurse. And then you say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to go to law school.
Yeah, it's really quite, I'm joking. But I didn't remember why I was working. I was introduced myself. They were asking me, what did you do? And all that kind of stuff. I said, I went to law school in China. And everybody looked at me and said, oh, all right, this girl must have quit because law school is too hard, because they don't believe. That was the story. I still remember their face when they heard about I went to law school and I'm learning how to measure the vital sign and how to do the EKG. I know, sometimes you don't know where the fate is going to lead you, and you just keep going. You know, we get married and we have kids, build a family. We keep going until one day, you know, almost like forcefully by something else, like COVID, and they hit you and say, hey, you know, you got another chance. Do you want to try? So that's my story.
Well, that's the story. That's the story so far. I feel like we might do another interview in 5 years, and maybe you've gone on to become an astronaut or something along those lines. So you started law school, and I guess now is a good time for me to admit that I knew you as a student a few years ago when you started at the St. John's University School of Law.
Correct, the professor. Actually, you were my first professor when I started. Actually, that was last year, July. It was not that long.
That's right. And, you know, and it's funny, we're doing this recording without video. We had online classes. And the really funny thing is, we speak quite often. I have absolutely no idea what you look like. All I know is you have dark, sort of longish hair, and you wore a mask. And so I, because you were in school, and I have absolutely no idea what you look like, but you were a really good student.
And thank you.
Well, I think everyone in class really, really appreciated all your contribution. And I'm glad you stayed with law school despite the fact that you were in a class with me. So you start a U.S. law school, and what was your reaction to starting law school in the United States?
Wow, the first impression is, oh my God, they're so young and I'm old. Yeah, that's my first impression. Number two, the U.S. College system is totally different than at least than ours. It was not easy. It was not something that I can do, just go there and fooling around and go get a master's degree. I'm totally wrong about that. You really have to devote yourself. It's not something that easy.
Right. So you started in the LLM program, and you mentioned just now that it wasn't easy. Can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges in a US LLM program?
Yeah, because even we had the law degree in another country, but because the whole system is completely different, so you're approaching the way you're thinking and how you're going to react and what you're going to expect actually are completely different. Just to make an example, we don't read that many cases. We read all the statutes. And we don't know why we have to read the cases, or why the case is so important, and how to read the cases, and how to actually compare with the cases. So many things. It's kind of like all of a sudden being thrown into something which you don't even know where to start.
That's an interesting observation. And that's something that I have heard from other students who come from a civil law system. They're so used to reading statutes, but then you come to a U.S. law school and primarily the study is through reading cases. In terms of the thought process as a U.S. law student, do you need to think differently from the way that you might think if you were studying law in China?
Completely. I think you're completely right on that. I think at beginning, like the first semester, or at least the first half, you actually are trying to adjust the way you're thinking. You have to put yourself in a different background, like a different culture, and how the US law system is actually being built. How this case is going to infect the whole system. So the whole process, you have to able to know the history, and you know you have to know some part of culture, And then you slowly get approached to and thinking like a U.S. lawyer, because you're not going to train yourself to be a Chinese lawyer or French lawyer. You want practicing in the U.S. So completely different.
Did you do anything special before you started law school in the United States to help you prepare?
Absolutely not. I was just brand new. The only thing they told me to read a book. So I read the Over the Edge, you know, The Summons by John Grisham. I read all the books. It's not even related. They said, you know, particular to me, don't read anything related to the law. And I listened.
It's actually a really good tip for people who are trying to improve their abilities in other languages. And I think this doesn't just pertain to people studying law in a different language or people studying just English. To improve your ability in English, just read a lot and don't necessarily read something difficult. Read something that you enjoy.
Right. I actually quite agree with that when I looked back and thought about this. And that whole time, all the input, especially you can't go anywhere during that time. So what else can you do? Well, I did read. And you will find out, you know, the more you process that using English to think, you use English to process instead of translate to your own language, then you slowly and getting to the way to process this language using their own way. I think that helped a lot.
And that was a great activity we did in class, I thought, where we would take English words and then paraphrase them in other English words. You said you were surprised by having to read so many cases. Did you have a strategy for reading cases?
If you can call that strategy. But at the beginning, I was struggling because, you know, I didn't have too many JD courses. But the JD courses are quite different than the LLM courses because it's a much bigger class and you actually will communicate with the professor and all the classmates. And the way they're not like a Chinese way, the professor is going to give you a lecture and you're going to just listen and take notes. So they're going to ask you questions in a secret way and you'll be nervous, you'll be cold called. So I do remember I did read. I thought I read very well. And then when the professor, you know, gave you a cold call and asked you all that kind of questions, you were like question yourself, did I ever read that case the way like he did? It's no way. So that was quite difficult at beginning to trying to get used to how to think and how to read a case, how you actually really understand a case. Because we read it, but nothing we're able to process it until I had a professor in your classes. I'm not saying that because you were right here. But I do remember the way you introduce sounds like an easy thing, like a banana peel, why banana peel is important, why other thing is, it just sounds like it's nothing related to the law or read the cases. But then you give us like IRAC, and you suggest us to make Excel to compare all the different factors, why it's essential, why it's not. And so that whole gradually process all the information, actually slowly build up the way how you're going to look at a case from different angle. So later, like in the middle of the semester, when we have legal writings and you have to read different cases, like three or four, which is similar, but has lots of distinguished parts, then all your strategy about using Excel and to compare the factor and to actually dive that in to analysis which part is really important and which one is not, and then trying to understand what is the legislative's intent based on what you just made at a comparison. And I thought at that time, that's really helpful.
Oh, I'm glad it was helpful. And I guess we should add for a little bit of context, you refer to a banana peel. And that's that comes from a a book, and we'll add I'll add the title of the book in the case notes. It's a question about whether or not someone should get fined for littering when they drop a banana peel. And it's part of reasoning by analogy. And it's a very useful introduction to the common law, to the common law system. And one thing that I do encourage students to do is to create a chart as they look at different cases to help them compare rules and apply those rules to different facts. And I'm glad it was helpful. Part of what we were doing in our class was getting ready to go into a JD class. And it's interesting that you observe that the style in a US law school is usually not very heavy on lecturing. Rather, the professor will ask a lot of questions. And you said that was different from China?
Yeah, that's completely different. And it actually brought all these nice memories when we first started. Yeah, that was quite different. I do remember when you were giving the lecture, which, like you mentioned, there was a small part, only when you were trying to introduce the U.S. law system, like what is a property law, what is the labor law, and, give you a brief introduction to let you build up your outline in your mind. But beyond that is all discussion, communication, and, talk in a small group, breakout room, like your favorite.
Except when it didn't work online, which is always
exactly. But that was all the nice memories, right? And that's how a special year. So I do remember, one of my favorite the classes you offered to us was doing a deposition by small groups, and or we were trying to settle something. We really argued. That was cool. And the class went very well, and we really argued like a lawyer.
Yeah, I remember this, and I enjoyed it a lot. It was a bit tricky online. It's a sort of thing that, if we had to keep practicing it every year, I guess it would get better and better online. But I'm hopeful that that students will be able to participate more in person instead of online, because I think in person is a bit better. So let's move on. You're in this LLM program, but you go ahead and you decide that you're going to take the New York bar exam because you like to give yourself challenges. Is that right?
Well, I think so, but because right now I passed, I can finally say so. But at that time, I didn't really imagine or have confidence for myself. When you have a language barrier, especially like me, you have like so many years, didn't ever go back to college, especially in another country. And, you have so many outstanding classmates, they're super smart and they dedicate. Then you don't know where you belong to. I guess like as a foreigner, you will find that stage that you find yourself, you don't know, are you capable to do that? But then good news is in the US, you always have a choice. You always can give yourself another chance. So I did. And I thought that was the best chance I give to myself.
That's great. And you passed the very first time you took the test.
Hooray.
So what was challenging about the New York bar exam?
Everything. It's nothing not challenge. It's everything. Because this, I think everyone who went through this whole process like me, we all know the way you prepare that, because you have 7 main subject for the multiple choices. You also have like 5 or 6 on top of that to write an essay. And you also have to analysis the whole cases, like over 20 pages in an hour and a half, by able to write whatever they offered you to write by follow the instruction. The whole thing they designed this test is to really test your complete knowledge and your analysis ability, your research ability, and your everything as a whole. And for us, only have 1 year, the whole experience, particularly you only have maybe one or two JD courses, which is related to the bar exam. For example, like me, I only had contracts and will and trust. That means the other over 10 subjects I have to learn by myself before I take this test. Not to mention, after you finally prepare, you did the test, and then the waiting time is such a torture. Every day we were like standing on the edge, don't know what's gonna happen. Imagine we definitely failed. How can we restart? You know, the whole process, I guess that's the way to train you to, you know, always performance under under stress, under pressure. And I think that's part of the very important like a feature for the future attorney and how you're going to work under pressure.
It's a good point. And one thing that I'm always concerned about is when I see students who are under a lot of pressure and feeling this great stress, on the one hand, I feel like, well, this is natural. This is what you're supposed to be experiencing, because it is a challenge. So during times of challenge, people are supposed to feel a certain amount of stress. On the other hand, I'm worried about people, and I'm worried about them being overly stressed. Do you have any suggestions on how people can help on how people can deal with the stress, especially if English isn't their first language?
Yeah, I'm one of them. So on top of all the things, Professor, you just mentioned, we have to always balance the study and your family and your life, because you have one chance, you stay in the US, you don't want to stay in your room for the whole year just to get your grades really high or pass exam. This is a full experience. You want to know another country and you want to get to, you know, connect with other person. Even during the COVID time, we actually had some in-person courses, which were really helpful to build your network and also to kind of like balance the stress, like you mentioned before. And I thought the thing really works for me is having a study group and always share with each other, be frank with each other about what they feel. And not only the academic part, especially the part about how they get used to everything. And we kind of like help each other. And especially we all from different country. So, you know, not everyone's from China. So our study group has some students from Russia and some students from France. So that was a cool experience. That study group really support us during the bar preparation time. And even after we were waiting, we stayed together and we stayed strong.
That is a really good point. And something that this is reminding me of is I teach now at a different university, and I'm working with students, and most of the students that I work with are from the United States. And I asked them, now that you've been in law school for about, you know, half a semester, you just had a midterm, what advice would you give students who are just starting? And a number of the students said, okay, well, find your people. Find people who will support you. And it strikes me that that's just a really important thing to do, to make sure that you have this type of support, not just for study purposes, but also for networking and emotional support.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because as a lawyer, you're not alone. You're going to meet different people. You're going to represent the customers. We are people person, right? We work with the people. That's why in the law school, even your study as your primary task, I still think work with the people, have your social ability. It's kind of like really important.
I agree. And I think that's a really important point to make. Besides for a study group for bar preparation or in law school, do you have any other suggestions that you would make for international students in a U.S. law school program?
If I may, I think something works for me is build your own plan. You can do a lot of research about how other person, how they succeed, what is their plan, and you can make a reference of that. But at the end, I think the best one will be the one you constantly to change and adapt to the one really fits you. So actually, you have to tailor your own plan. That was how I did during my bar exam. And that was also how I did during prepare all the midterm and the final. That's one connected with each other. Like me, we had to do midterm like on March, final on May. Right after that, you're going to prepare bar. So it's very tense. You start to make a plan, which could be fit for another student, but may not be you. So you know where's your strengths, and you also know where's your weakness. So find a balance and constantly change that to make that fit you. I think that will be my suggestion, if that will help you.
I think that's a great suggestion. And for everybody listening, if you're looking for help or support as you embark on your U.S. law school career, do feel free to get in touch with us at U.S. Law Essentials, and maybe I can forward a question to Violet on your behalf, and maybe she'll be willing to offer you some of her suggestions. Thank you very much, Violet. This is
great talking. Thank you, Professor.
It was great speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And don't forget to stay essential. Thank you for listening to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast. You can contact us at daniel@uslawessentials.com and visit our website, uslawessentials.com, and you can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Stay essential and talk soon.